Ace Podcast.
Weird.
That's different.
Isn't that weird?
Hey, well, speaking of weird, this is weird.
This is weird.
Welcome to Weird, listener. I'm Craig.
My name's Aaron.
And this is a little bit different episode. You know why?
Why?
Because it's all about Florida.
And it's also like 3 days before the 4th of July.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with Florida.
No, it doesn't, but I'm excited. You know, I get excited around the holidays.
I know you get real excited around Christmas.
No, I do not.
Okay, so this is all about Florida, but before we get started.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you. You know, I like a documentary.
I love documentaries.
I love a good documentary.
I love one if I could find a really good one about spiders.
Well, I've got the answer.
And really?
I think you're going to enjoy this. It's called Spiders Will Eat Your Face.
I don't want a spider to eat my face.
Well, they're not going to, and that's kind of a joke.
Because they're on the TV.
And I was watching this documentary last night. My wife came in, and she said, did you Craig make this? I said, no, we don't have this kind of talent. What in the world?
We appreciate it, but come on, you're overestimating what we are, our abilities.
But I laughed all the way through it because it's got our sense of humor.
Right.
It's called Spiders Will Eat Your Face, and it's available on Amazon Prime, Instant Watch, and Amazon.com.
Right.
So we're Prime members, you know.
Right, we are too.
So that's how I got to watch it. But Spiders Will Eat Your Face is the documentary about the history of pet tarantulas in America.
First tarantula I ever saw that was a pet was at my doctor's office.
Ooh.
And he was in a tank. I guess it was a conversation piece for kids coming in.
I guess
a pediatrician,
so. And they're very safe, oddly enough.
I never realized. Don't want to play with one.
I'm not going to throw anything at you that's covered in the documentary.
Right.
There's lots of good stuff in here. But The Spiders Will Eat Your Face is a movie on Amazon. So check out the film, and it's all about tarantulas as pets, as I said. And how the tarantula is wrapped up in some of America's hardest moments, including the annexation of Mexico, which was very interesting segment.
Because the tarantulas were actually armed.
And they had little sombreros.
Yes.
The Wild West, rabies, and the Civil War.
Wow.
So the movie is rated PG by the BBFC, which is the same rating equivalent.
You know, where it's going to be tonight?
Where?
On my TV.
Good.
Yeah, I didn't, before we recorded, I wasn't able to watch it, but it's going to be watched tonight.
I like that. So we'll talk about it next episode.
Yeah,
then,
we will talk about it even more.
Yeah, we will.
But right now, your word's good enough for me.
We got, okay. So check it out. We got Florida stories. But first.
What?
One more thing. Oddly enough, Weird made the list for podcastawards.com, which is the big podcast awards. Adam Curry is even associated with
former
this.
MTV VJ.
That's correct. And now Podfather. They call him the Podfather. But we need our listeners to go nominate us from the list.
Yeah. And you need to listen up right now. Everybody, wait. Let's get everybody's attention.
Pay attention.
I'm talking to you in traffic. Look at me. Talking to you doing your laundry. I'm talking to you just sitting there zoning out listening to a podcast. Listen.
Nominations open on July 1st, which is tomorrow.
You need to go to www, but you can leave that off if you want.
Yeah.
podcastawards.com.
Actually, this is Monday's episode. That will be July the 2nd. So they can go right now.
How about it?
How about
you know where we are in time?
Pause this podcast. Find your phone or your computer. Go to podcastawards.com.
Well, they probably know where their phone is. They're probably listening to a podcast on it.
Podcastawards.com and nominate Weird, please. It's in the comedy category.
Podcast Awards, plural.
Now, for real, though.
.com. In Florida, I went desert. Oh, story. Half-naked former state attorney arrested in Hotel Duval incident.
You know, these former state attorneys get into some trouble. I'm reading a book right now.
That's really not impressive. A lot of people are reading books right now.
About a state attorney that got in a lot of trouble, but it's not this guy. But go ahead. I'll talk about that later.
A former assistant state attorney from Crestview is facing criminal charges after police say he ran nearly nude through Hotel Duval Sunday night, pulled the fire alarm, and sprayed several guests in the face with a fire extinguisher as they left their rooms.
Oh, why wasn't I in this place? I wouldn't even mind it being sprayed in the face for this.
In a world where we have cameras everywhere,
yes.
Please tell me there's footage.
I hope so. I don't know, but I hope so.
Ryan P. Campbell.
Oh, not Ryan P. Campbell.
Is charged with battery.
Yeah.
He
is a charged battery.
Grand theft of a fire extinguisher. Is a fire extinguisher grand theft?
I think so. I think they're pretty
obstructing
expensive.
A firefighter,
uh-oh,
battery of an EMT, and disorderly conduct.
He's going away.
Campbell, yeah, he's going to go away for the weekend. Campbell worked in the state attorney's office in Shalimar from June 2011 to August 2013. According to First Circuit Assistant State Attorney Greg Marseil, Campbell's main duties were in the misdemeanor and juvenile divisions, which is...
He's acting that way.
Pretty appropriate. Campbell, according to court records, was being disruptive on the Monroe Street Hotel's rooftop bar, level 8, about 11 p.m. A hotel employee was escorting Campbell to the lobby to get another room key when he palmed the... Why is that marked out, by the way, Aaron? Did you do that?
I did. I didn't know if you should read that or not. That's kind of a warning.
Let's just say this.
Go ahead.
A hotel employee was escorting Campbell to the lobby to get another room key when he laid hands on them inappropriately.
There you go. Perfect.
Arrest records said. So the employee then left the 31-year-old on the sixth floor to call the police. Why did he leave him there to call the police? Why didn't that person just
go? Hey, I'm leaving you here. Go ahead and call the police.
When the employee found Campbell again, he was running down the hallway yelling, "Help!" and wearing only a thong and a shirt.
Oh, man.
Can't scrub your head of that one now.
No.
He eluded employees and police by running out of the emergency exit while carrying two fire extinguishers as the hotel's fire alarm sounded. I just have such a comical vision in my head what this looked like. Campbell sprayed several patrons and a hotel employee with a fire extinguisher before fleeing to the valet parking lot along Calhoun Street, where he was apprehended.
Did you see a time David Letterman sprayed poor Richard Simmons with the fire extinguisher?
No.
Oh, you need to look that up on the YouTube.
But I got worried when you said this brings back memories of. I was afraid.
Well, I've got a story there, too, about my perfect brother, Alan.
How is Alan?
Let me tell you about the time. Hey, what's the statute of limitations on stealing a fire extinguisher? I better not tell you.
Apparently, it's grand theft.
I better not say anything about my brother, Alan, and
stealing
the fire extinguisher.
Well, we don't
want to
taint the fact that we actually know that he'd be covering for you because he wouldn't do anything.
Whatever.
Like that. Let's see. So, three people told police they heard the fire alarms and left their rooms, only to be sprayed in the face by a fire extinguisher by Campbell, according to the court records.
This guy, it was like shooting fish in a barrel.
I know. What is it, like a Three Stooges short or something?
He pulled the fire alarm, doors start opening.
Pow, pow, pow. If only he had one of those miniature crossbows. As Campbell was being transported to the hospital, officers say he kicked emergency medical personnel.
Man, this guy's got anger issues or something.
Was he on bath salts?
Probably.
Well, it is Florida again.
Yeah, that's true. They take a
play
lot of
the song every time.
Yes.
Since we know it's a Florida song.
Headline is, Florida man shoots, throws Chinese food at would-be robbers. Now, this is a story where the good guys win.
Does he shoot Chinese food?
No, he shoots, and then he throws Chinese food.
Again, the blunderbuss. I didn't know if he had it in the gun.
Jacksonville, Florida.
He shot him with, like, lo mein or something?
A Chinese food delivery driver in Jacksonville, Florida, shot attempted robbery suspects after he was ambushed during a delivery, officers say. The victim, a delivery driver for a hot walk on 103rd Street, said he was
103rd Street.
Hey, Peter Brady, welcome to the show.
103rd Street.
He was delivering an order at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday when two men answered the door with a gun.
Why would you answer the door with a gun? Why don't you just turn the doorknob?
He said the two men in their early 20s pointed a green laser at his face. The laser was coming from the bottom of the barrel of a black semi-automatic pistol, he told police. I hope it was a Glock. The driver said,
"Oh, don't get me started."
Best gun ever. The driver said the men told him to come inside several times. No, sir, don't do it. If somebody with a gun's asking, no, you shoot me here, is what I'd say. He tried to turn around and leave, but was approached by a third man with a gun. He told officers, the driver told the police that he threw the food at the third man, backed away, grabbed a gun from the holster on his waist. The driver fired 4 to 5 shots at the suspects and yelled for neighbors to call 911.
Did he hit him?
I hope so. He held one suspect at gunpoint until police arrived. Officer said a short time later, a man reported that he had been shot at a different location. Right.
Whatever.
He just happened to have a little
low mane
on
his
shirt.
Yeah, I
was going
to say he had the low mane on his shirt. We think too much alike.
Yes, we do. He was arrested in connection with the attempted robbery. Officers are still seeking a third man suspect.
They're just trying to find someone else they can pin
on. Anybody. Hey, you wearing any Chinese food?
I'm available.
The West Side home where the attempted burglary happened is for sale, and neighbors say it's been empty for months. We actually think that they probably were staking it out and, you know, using it as a target, said a neighbor, identified only as Juan. Juan and his friends were a few doors down when the attempted a robbery happened. And they said
a robbery happened.
They saw the delivery driver go by them down the street. Juan said it was a short time later when he heard the gunfire. Juan said it was just pop, 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 pop. Pretty much almost like
firecrackers. The real crime here is that a bunch of Chinese food got wasted.
That really is.
But, you know, it happened to a friend of ours, we won't name names, where they got ambushed.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's dangerous.
Yeah,
it got
ambushed.
Job.
And it was a bad scene. Guns were drawn.
Uh-huh.
It was not a good sign, not a good time for
no,
all.
No.
Florida man urinates on shopping carts, returns to store the next day.
Well, he woke up and had to go again, I guess. Everybody
I
does.
I thought this was the bathroom. A Florida man decided to make a return trip to Walmart just one day after urinating on the store shopping carts. How can you tell the difference? I mean,
I don't know. They're pretty
yucky anyway. The unidentified 53-year-old Fort Walton Beach man was issued a trespass warning after store employees noticed he was apparently intoxicated and relieving himself on shopping carts outside the store. Signing his name. Despite the trespass warning, the man returned the next day but was arrested while using a self-checkout lane. I hope he wasn't going to the bathroom on that, too.
He was using it.
He was using it. The man told police of his desire to buy pants.
I desire to purchase these leggings.
Officer, I have a desire to wear pants, but I must urinate first. He admitted to being a dummy and knowing he wasn't supposed to be in the store, according to the police report obtained by the NWF.
But I must seriously purchase these pants.
Sir, I have a desire to buy trousers.
Headline is, Florida man tries to steal a van and a plane and failed equally at both. Epically at both.
What did you say?
Equally.
Equally. Well, pretty much.
Gregory A. Hawk of Lakeland, Florida, didn't get very far in what could be thought of as one of the most elaborately failed getaways ever enacted. Hawk was in the process of stealing a National Data and Surveying Services van when one of the tires blew out.
A National Data and Surveying Services van. Okay, so that's a company, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Still, Hawk rode the van all the way to Lakeland.
You're not trying hard enough. It's down deeper in your throat.
Regional Airport, where he then ditched his ride in an attempt to catch another one. Lakeland Police Lieutenant Eric Harper chased Hawk around several planes in an I'm going to have to clean my microphone in an aviation garage when Hawk then got the bright idea to latch onto the wing of a plane about to take off. Harper detained Hawk as he attempted to enter the cockpit, seemingly in an effort to hijack the aircraft. What was he going to do? This guy's not a pilot.
I don't know.
The Lakeland man was charged with 2 counts of grand theft, 1 count of trespassing, 1 count of burglary, and an occupied conveyance and resisting arrest. Harper said he had never quite experienced a chase quite like that.
Not since the great Wooster chase.
Ooh, flashback.
Drunk, high, and naked man shows up to Clearwater home and throws feces.
That water ain't so clear anymore now, is it, Craig?
You know what he threw?
He threw a
fecal surprise.
A Newport Richey man.
Oh, he's new.
Yeah, he's a Newport Richey man. He's not going to make friends that way.
No.
Was arrested for showing up to a Clearwater home naked and eventually throwing feces on a toolbox.
Well, it took him a little while to get that stuff ready.
A Pinellas County Sheriff's Office says 34-year-old Tommy Williams was intoxicated and high on drugs when he went into a home on San Jose Street around 1:30 Saturday morning and rang the doorbell several times, then went to the backyard and opened 2 sheds. Why both of them? Deputies say he intended to commit a burglary.
Yes.
According to investigators, Williams threw feces on the victim's toolbox.
Oh.
Could he just laid it there?
I hope they weren't really good tools, because now they're gone.
When a deputy showed up, Williams, yeah, he's burn them.
If somebody throws feces
on
your tools,
they're
gone,
trash.
Baby.
When a deputy showed up, Williams tried to hide behind a tree. Can't find me. Williams told the deputy he was drunk and out of his mind and admitted he ingested MDMA, according to the arrest report. Williams also told the deputy he doesn't know the victim and denied opening the shed or throwing feces.
Oh, boy. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we're kind of on a rapid pace.
We kind of are got a lot to get through here.
A lot of short stories. Florida woman arrested after twisting fingers. She was arrested for doing the twist, Greg. How about that? Vero Beach, Florida, a 48-year-old woman was arrested in Vero Beach on charges of battery. She charged her batteries after she twisted her friend's fingers.
That sounds like a band, Twisted Finger.
The Indian River County Sheriff's Office was called 5 times at a residence on 7th Avenue in Vero Beach for multiple disturbances. At 2:37 a.m., oh, there it is, Trouble Street.
Yep.
2:37 a.m., deputies responded to another disturbance call at the same location where a male and 2 women were heavily intoxicated.
They were heavy and intoxicated.
Of course they were. The victim told deputies that one of the women, identified as Patricia Diane Powell, known as PDP to her friends,
right,
grabbed her fingers and twisted them, causing pain to the fingers.
You ever had somebody do that to you? You
know,
No, never, your whole life.
I don't think so. I hope not.
Give me your hand.
No. The victim said she was outside listening to music with her boyfriend when Patricia came outside from the house and she grabbed my fingers and she twisted them, the report said. The boyfriend advised he witnessed Patricia grab his girlfriend's fingers and bend them back. Now, I have had that done.
That does not feel good.
Patricia Powell was arrested and transported to the Indian River County Jail where she was charging her batteries. Oh, I'm sorry, where she was charged with battery.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Colorful man arrested at suburban Jupiter Park.
Jupiter Park? That sounds fun.
Jupiter, Florida. A man with colorful hair was arrested on Sunday for trespassing at a park near Jupiter. That seems like a really far way to go to hang out at a park. McKenzie was approached by the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office on June 25th at Jonathan's Landing Pond. A deputy with PBSO asked, what is Palm Beach Sheriff's Office?
No, it's PBS Channel Zero.
Oh, PBS Zero.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Asked McKenzie what he was doing there, and McKenzie responded by telling him it was none of his business, the report states.
It is his business,
The deputy
man.
Told McKenzie it was not a public space and asked him three times to produce identification. When McKenzie refused for the third time, the deputy placed him under arrest, despite a Palm Beach County judge stating in McKenzie's first appearance that he does not have a criminal history. WPTV discovered the man had multiple arrests while he lived in Oklahoma.
Aha.
In 2005, the Norman Transcript reported that McKenzie was charged with the Cleveland County District Court with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. He would sit down at the apartment staircase with a butcher knife. Why'd he talk like that?
I don't know, but he's from Jupiter. Maybe they talk that way.
Oh, yeah. Beep bop. He would sit down at the apartment staircase, bleep, blop, bleep, with its butcher's knife, bleep. Other people in the building were scared to walk by.
I would be.
Tom Livingston, a former neighbor of McKenzie from Oklahoma, told WPTV over the phone. He also poured cat litter in people's cars.
Oh, man.
He did that to me once.
What a terrible thing to do. Vacuum is not going to pick that up.
McKenzie was released from the Palm Beach County Jail on June 26 with credit for time served. So he get credits. He can come back later and spend those credits.
No, he's going to graduate. If he
he's going to graduate. He's going to get a few more credits. Graduate.
Yeah. Speaking of graduation, right. I want to ask you, we talked about spiders will eat your face, didn't we?
We did.
I want to bring it up
again. I want to talk about it again. You know why?
Why?
Because spiders.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not.
Yeah.
They eat your face.
Well, tarantulas, they're very misunderstood.
Right.
They're really cuddly and cozy pets.
Right.
And you'll see if you watch Spiders Will Eat Your Face. And Spiders Will Eat Your Face is available on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Instant Watch. And Amazon.com.
It's on the Amazon.
You should go to Amazon
just
and
go to
search
the Amazon.
For spiders. You know what we'll do? We'll put a link to it.
Spiders will eat your face. It's what's interesting about this is while you're watching the documentary,
yeah,
spiders will eat your face.
Yeah, it's kind of like 5D. You know, you got 3D.
5D. They actually eat your face.
Not really. It's rated PG, but I didn't see anything wrong with it. I watched the whole thing last
night.
Well,
spiders are scary to some people.
That's right. We did talk about that, didn't we?
In Florida, I went to
back to Florida.
The last thing I remember is drinking a couple of Four Locos, says a Florida man accused of stealing a boat.
Oh, man.
Daytona Beach, Florida, where nothing ever happens.
No.
Right. A 20-year-old man was arrested Saturday after he allegedly stole a boat from a marina that later crashed into Daytona Beach with no one on board.
It was a driverless boat, man.
Wow.
I wonder if Wooster was involved.
Wooster might have been involved. Investigators said Jonathan Race allegedly broke into Daytona Marina and Boat Works shortly before 4:45. Now I'm thinking about seafood.
Are you really?
You know, next week?
Yeah.
Going to be in Florida?
Yeah.
I'm going to a place called, can I say it? Shrimp Basket.
Oh, Shrimp Basket.
And you know what?
What?
The day I'm going?
Yeah.
All you can eat popcorn shrimp.
No.
You don't eat fish, though.
I don't eat any kind of fish.
You're wrong.
Anything that swims.
What is wrong with
you?
Would you eat spiders if they were eating your face?
Sure.
Okay, so anywho.
Yeah.
Investigators said he broke into Daytona Marina and Boat Works shortly before 4:45 a.m. Saturday, rummaged through two vessels, left belongings strewn across the boatyard, and stole a 36-foot boat named Ethel Jean.
Ethel Jean, get back here.
Where's Ethel Jean?
Last time I saw her, she was with Wooster.
Yeah, I can't find Ethel Jean. Now, if the boat's name was Zebekiah or something, maybe I'd believe it was Wooster. The boat later plowed. You have to listen to the previous episode.
Please
to get
do.
This humor. The boat later plowed into a beach at full speed. That's like Miami Vice. But Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission officers said no one was aboard the vessel.
That's why I think Wooster was involved.
Or Chekhov would say the wessel.
Chekhov.
FWC officers said they found paperwork on the boat that indicated it was being stored at the marina for repairs and a pair of tan pants. Oh, it's always the tan pants.
Tan pants. Containing, what kind of repairs, by the way? Because this thing, if it
seemed like it was working fine.
It had to be.
Containing a cell phone, a wallet, and Race's driver's license, according to a arrest report. Police said they met up with Race at a Port Orange home and interviewed him on the porch, where he told investigators the last thing he remembered was drinking a couple Four Loko
What's
drinks.
What's a Four Loko?
Four Loko. It's a Four Loko.
What is that?
I don't know, but it was at a 7-Eleven across the marina. I could tell you if they hadn't taken all the 7-Elevens away from us.
Oh, yeah, we don't have them here.
Somebody told me there's one in the Nashville area somewhere.
No way.
I got to dig it up. I don't know
no
where it's
way.
At. Race told investigators that he blacked out and was rather drunk
so
and
they're
was
alcoholic.
Just making stupid decisions, the report said.
I wonder if he got a big gulp Four Loko. If he had four of those, he will be loco.
Oh, Four Loko. He told investigators that the only thing he knows is he woke up on the shore in Daytona Beach and walked home to Port Orange, officials said. Detectives said they asked Race if he noticed that he wasn't wearing any shorts, but he said he woke up wearing a pair of blue shorts that didn't belong
to
him.
Oh, no. The mystery thickens.
So long. What was it? Something in Much Love to the Sesh.
Yeah.
Racism. Another flashback. Race's mother called investigators to ask them why her son was being arrested. And as her son explained the story to her, she asked him several times what he was thinking, the report said.
I'll tell you what he's thinking. He's thinking I look pretty good in those blue shorts.
Yeah.
What he was thinking.
Where'd I get them?
Headline is Pasco deputies arrest Bazooka Ricky.
Is that Bazooka Joe's brother?
No, I think it is.
You Pasco can tell because he had his turtleneck up under his nose.
A man sought it by Pasco County Sheriff deputies and known as Bazooka Ricky was off street Saturday, officials said. K-9 Aragon led deputies right to Richard Edward Vidal, age 30, who was wanted on an active warrant for FTA trespassing and felony fleeing to elude. The Pasco Sheriff's Office chased him into a shed Friday night.
Was he putting poop on on toolboxes?
No, this was just one shed. Thanks to Aragon, deputies found him hiding in a corner. Along with charges of fleeing to elude and trespassing, investigators say Vidal is a documented member of the Aryan Brotherhood.
Oh, that's not something to mess
they
with.
They should let that dog take him.
I'll tell you what, talk about documentaries earlier.
Oh, yeah.
You seen the Aryan Nation
yes,
one?
Yes, I have. Oh, I've seen one of them.
Man, those guys are smart.
Scary.
Do you see the codes that they're
yes.
The encryption stuff?
That's ridiculous.
It's redonkulous.
Detective Monty Schuler. He should. You know what? He should be a game show host.
He should be Monty Schuler.
And now Monty Schuler. He keeps tabs on several different white supremacist groups, including the Aryan Brotherhood, the Aryan Nation, and a large prison-based
What's
gang
the difference between the Brotherhood and the Nation?
Called the Unforgiven. They are here.
That was a Western.
They are very much in Pasco County. A lot of them share the same ideologies.
I see what you did there.
The same beliefs. The very little bit here and a little bit there, but mostly all the same. The Anti-Defamation League says there are a lot of hate groups all around Florida.
Yeah, all the people that hate Florida.
And along with spreading extreme views, many of them are involved in crimes.
They never explain why he's called Bazooka Ricky.
That's just what he's called.
Florida cops discover meth lab, golf cart chop shop in retirement community garage.
Oh
so
boy.
Some old guy
yes.
is taking stolen golf carts.
From the villages.
From the
that movie.
Chopping them up from the village.
Yeah.
Chopping them up and selling them on the black market, which is very racist.
And selling meth with them.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, that's
part of it.
That's free.
Yeah.
It comes with it.
It's a bonus.
The Villages, a hilariously large retirement community in Florida, is the fastest growing quote-unquote city in the country, with more than 117,000 people, 48 golf courses, and absolutely no children. They're only permitted to visit for
Florida,
up to 30 days a year.
Florida's not that big.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of golf courses.
Residents primarily drive golf carts with some luxury models costing up to $25,000. Others were tricked out last year in support of Donald Trump.
Oh, really?
In 2005, the corporate-owned and fake-history community set the world record for longest golf cart parade.
Oh, well, here we go.
Perhaps surpassed by only the 100-meter dash as the world's most prestigious record with 3,321 carts.
That's a lot of carts.
But earlier this week... The Villages, there was news of another kind.
Uh-oh.
A drug bust, followed by the discovery of a possible golf cart chop shop.
Oh, man.
Sumter County Sheriff's deputies and a SWAT team raided one villager's house Wednesday morning after complaints from residents. There, they arrested five people on drug charges, including sale of methamphetamine and possession of heroin.
Uh-oh.
One man was charged with the real-sounding crime of unlawful use of a two-way communication device.
A telephone? is that a law?
Was it a telephone?
There's a law against that?
But Chief Deputy Sheriff Gary Brennan.
Oh, Gary Brennan.
Told reporters police found what they believed to be a golf cart chop shop after multiple golf cart parts were found in the home.
Golf cart chop shop.
So wait.
Yeah.
So you find computer parts in my house because I keep extra parts?
You're a computer chop shop.
I'm a computer chop shop.
Yeah, but you don't sell meth. At least I don't think you do, as far as I know. In
Florida, I didn't say I don't I not sell.
Dessert. Headline is Florida man stuck in car, tries to hotwire it while the keys are inside.
Idiot.
Pasco County, Florida. A Florida man who said he was high on meth. He must have been at the old folks' home.
Everyone on meth in Florida. I want to know this.
Allegedly tried to hotwire a car even though the keys were inside. Timothy Brazil, age 19, reportedly let himself into a home in Pasco County and told a blind man inside he was looking for his keys.
Okay.
I can't help you find them. Brazil then walked outside and got into a parked car. Little did he know, the car's doors only opened from the outside. Aha! It's a trap.
It's one of those trap cars.
It's like a bait car. When deputies arrived, they said Brazil was trapped inside and trying to start the car with a voltage meter. He's doing it wrong. That's not how you hotwire a car.
I don't think you do it that way.
Brazil told the deputies he was on the meth. WLFA reported he was on the meth. In
Florida, I went berserk. Florida contractor fakes death to dodge angry homeowners. Sounds like a plan to me.
That's a little extreme.
For weeks, Glenn Holland, 67, crawled out of bed before the sun rose to look for a dead man.
Oh, this guy's good.
The retiree and Vietnam veteran spent several weeks on stakeout in his Ford F-150. Under the cover of darkness, he waited outside the home of a man he was told died in a car crash.
I wonder why he didn't believe it.
He maybe had good reason. As the weeks went by, neither the Corvette, Hummer, or pickup truck in the driveway moved. Holland nearly gave up. He waited one last time. It was 4 a.m. on Friday in March. 4 hours later, the deceased man walked outside and jumped into the truck.
Oh, boy, he ain't dead.
Adrenaline shot through Holland.
Oh.
His heart started pounding. His mind raced. Could Mark Anthony Perez be alive?
Mark Anthony? I've got all his albums.
You would admit that?
No, I don't.
He was! The contractor who Holland said ripped him off, then faked his own death to get out of paying him back for a botched renovation, who left Holland and his cancer-stricken wife with nowhere to live, was still among the living.
That's an extreme way to get out of paying somebody back.
I want to get my hands on him, Holland's recalled thinking. The man cost us $13,000. He faked his death to avoid paying us. I thought about driving up to him and jumping out. I hope he stopped the car first.
Boo!
Yeah, boo. I scare you. He didn't. Instead, Holland sued him.
That's probably a smarter...
Probably a better way to do it. Holland said he blames himself for not doing a more thorough check of Perez, even after neighbors provided glowing recommendations.
You always hear about these things happening, but you can never think it could be you.
No.
Holland said,
it frustrates me that there were people like this.
The County Consumers Protection Office said it is investigating the case. Daniel Moody, the Holland's attorney, has been a construction lawyer for 33 years. He said his client's ordeal is an example of how even a minor project can turn into a severe hardship.
I bet he's really good at building a case.
I get what you did there.
Yeah.
He warned homeowners to never pay for anything until the work is complete. What happened to his clients, he said, is pretty typical of unlicensed contractors. Other than faking his own death.
Yeah, that's not very typical, I'm sure. Headline is, Miami man faces $120 million fine for 96 million robocall spree.
Good.
That's what I said.
Because he's not paying those robots what they're worth.
A Miami man accused of flooding consumers with 96 million phone calls touting fake travel deals faces a record proposed $120 million fine from federal regulators, and I hope they get every penny.
There are so many scummy people out there.
My phone rings all the time, even my cell phone.
I'm also, you know what my pet peeve is now?
What?
You go to, and they can be normal websites that shouldn't even have this stuff. Like, I'm talking reputable sites.
Yes.
At the bottom, they'll have all these paid ads.
Yeah.
It'll be like, You'll never guess what the cast of this looks like now.
Oh, I know, I see that.
And they're not even the people.
No.
It'll be like, you won't believe what this person looks like now, and they're hideous. And it's like, it's not even the real person.
No, it's terrible. Adrian Abramovich tried to trick consumers into answering and listening to his advertising messages, the FCC said in a news release Thursday. The pace of calls works out to an average of more than a million per day.
Wow.
I'd like to see the machine that does this. The FCC is taking major, unprecedented action against what appears to be the most egregious neighbor spoofing robocalling scheme that we've ever seen, said FCC Chairman Ajit Pai. Calls appeared to come from local numbers. That happens to me, too.
Happened today. Happened a little while ago.
But those who answered were prompted to press 1 to hear about vacation deals, according to the FCC. If they did, consumers were connected to a call center not affiliated with companies mentioned in the message, such as Expedia, TripAdvisor, Marriott, Hilton, etc., according to the agency. Consumers who did press 1 were transferred to foreign call centers where live operators attempted to sell them vacation packages, often involving timeshares. The calls violated a law against deliberately falsifying caller identification information. It said Abramovich apparently made 96 million spoofed robocalls during a 3-month period, and that the proposed penalty was based on 80,000 calls.
What kind of money he makes off that?
I don't know. I hope it's a lot because he's got a big bill coming. Abramovich gets a chance to argue against the FCC's proposed penalty before the agency decides whether to levy the fine. I really hope they do.
I had one today, and I didn't answer it, so I called it back.
Yeah.
And it was like, hi, I'm Julie. You recently clicked on a link in one of our affiliates' websites, and I've got a $100 voucher for you. I'm like, no, you don't. I hung up.
Good.
Julie.
Really?
Julie. Julie's the worst.
She is terrible.
Men ditch car after crashing into Doritos truck in Orlando.
Oh, I hope none of them were hurt.
Ditch the Doritos?
Yes.
Ditch the car? What are you talking about? I'd be shoveling those in the back of the car, leaving as fast as I could. Two men ditched a car early Wednesday after colliding with a Doritos box truck, the Orlando Police Department said. Police said they were conducting an unrelated drug investigation at about 2:15 a.m. in the morning.
Trouble Street.
In a downtown parking garage when they noticed a Nissan sedan with its doors open and two guns inside.
Uh-oh.
Two men got out of the car as police approached the vehicle and the driver drove away, defying officers' orders to stop, investigators said. Police didn't pursue the vehicle. A crash involving the car was reported 30 minutes later at West Colonial Drive and North John Young Parkway, North Kim Jong-un Parkway, police said. Investigators said the driver of the truck told investigators that he saw the men ditch the Nissan and get into a Dodge Ram pickup truck that was following behind. He said the driver of the pickup truck then drove away. The driver of the Doritos truck was taken to Orlando Regional Medical Center in an unknown condition. Investigators said the pickup truck was later spotted at Fairvilla Road and Mercy Drive, or is it Fairvilla?
I don't know.
Who really knows?
Not me.
People that live there know. And police pulled over the driver. Someone in the vehicle was arrested on fleeing and eluding the scene of the crash.
Hey, can we back up a few paragraphs? Because
yeah.
It said police didn't pursue the vehicle. If they saw a car with doors open and guns inside, why wouldn't they pursue it? You think it?
Maybe they saw bags of Doritos everywhere.
And oh, maybe.
Because I'm telling you right now, if I hit a Doritos truck and Doritos went flying,
yeah,
I'm hanging out for freebies.
Me too, man.
In Florida,
oh, I sent you this, didn't I?
You did. Did you see the video?
I did not see the video, but this woman needs to be tarred and feathered.
I watched the video, and it was horrendous. Florida woman who let snake bite one-year-old will not face charges.
That's the travesty.
The whole story is, it's weird. That's why we're covering it.
Yes.
Not so funny, but weird. A Florida woman who intentionally let a snake bite her young daughter to teach her to be afraid of the reptiles will not face child abuse charges.
How?
Chantel St.
Laurent. What about assault charges?
Of Sebring posted a video on Facebook earlier this month that showed her one-year-old being bitten by a snake as the girl reached into a container to touch it. It showed the snake striking and the girl crying, and it is a pitiful video. It's terrible.
I'm watching it.
I wish I hadn't seen it.
Do not watch it, people. I've warned you.
She says she was just trying to teach the child to be afraid of snakes. Do you have to be taught to be? I don't remember being taught to be afraid of snakes.
No.
According to Scott Dressel of the Highlands County Sheriff's Office, the state attorney's office announced Tuesday that it would not pursue the case because there was not enough evidence. They got video of it. Happy.
Yeah,
and her
know.
Mom was laughing. That was the worst thing to me.
Ha ha.
Yeah, real funny. Several experts viewed the video, and while they felt that the treatment of the snake and the child were not wise, they did not see any criminal action, Sheriff Paul Blackman said.
How?
I don't know.
Because the video probably just shows the girl reaching in.
Well,
the lady wasn't coercing her into doing it.
No, she wasn't, but you could tell. I mean, she had plenty of time to stop it. St. Lawrence mother who claims she conducted the same exercise on her daughter.
But she admits it too.
When she was young, told Fox 13 that they chose a non-poisonous snake. Well, wasn't that nice of them? And that the baby's skin wasn't broken.
After that first kid, we don't use the cobra anymore.
There was no harm to the baby, Brenda St. Lawrence said. The baby is fine. A happy, healthy baby. Well,
but
healthy
scarred
baby.
For life.
Yeah. She said the mother doesn't regret teaching the child, and neither does she. Her daughter's only regret, she said, is putting it on Facebook for all those morons.
All right. Well, before you hit the button.
Yeah.
So it reminds me, I saw this conversation this week about snakes.
Yeah.
And people were talking about how, don't forget, snakes are protected.
Oh,
yeah. You can't kill them. And people calling other people ignorant on Facebook instead of saying, well, if you're so ignorant, you can't tell the difference between a poisonous one and this. It's not that complicated. Learn your area where you are. And people, I'm sorry. A snake is a snake.
Amen.
And unless it's an obvious...
There's no such thing as a good snake in my book.
Well, they're all like, they have their place.
That's a rat snake. Keep it. It's good.
But here's the deal.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go out looking for a snake and kill it. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm saying if a snake gets in my way and he crosses me in any way, I'm not going to just kill him. But if he comes at me, he's dead.
Yeah.
And the fact that a snake has more rights than you and I do.
That's sad. But the point is.
There's no shortage of snakes. Don't they have like a billion babies at one time?
They do. And when we moved to this small town, I don't know, 20-something years ago, we were putting stuff in the attic. And there was a rat snake in the attic that my wife saw. Freaked her out.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as it would.
It's just a rat with no legs.
So we got the snake and I released it in the backyard because I knew it was a rat snake. And no harm done. But if it was aggressive or coming at me,
it'd been dead snake.
Absolutely. Anyway, here we go.
Glad we got that out of the way.
Me too.
Florida woman arrested. That's all I got to say, really. Every story is the same. Day in, day out. I got to make the donuts every morning.
Arrested that.
Insert your subject. It's the same thing. Arrested for disorderly intoxication at Sebastian Inn.
Now, I kind of found this not only weird, but
it's not
funny.
Called the Sebastian Inn. I don't think it's just Sebastian, Florida.
That's correct. There's some funny lines in here. So
I'll never know if I don't get to read them.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Ready?
Yep.
Saturday afternoons are usually quiet at the Sebastian Inn and Suites, unless there's someone heavily intoxicated.
Oh, yeah. Then the party starts.
Shara Lynn Wynard. Wired? Yeah. Wired.
Wired.
Wired. She was wired. 40 was banging on windows and yelling obscenities at people, according to the report. One of the windows was the hotel manager's office. A witness told police that she was sitting on a bench with her child when Wired approached them, yelling obscenities and wanting to fight her and her 2-year-old daughter.
Yeah, there you go. You. Bring her on. Let that little girl loose.
Indian River. Back to Indian River again.
There we go.
Indian River County Sheriff's deputies made contact with Wired, and immediately smelled the odor of an alcoholic beverage emitting from her breath. When a deputy asked Wired how much she had to drink, she replied, "All of it." She didn't really. She said, "Not enough."
That's true. That's exactly what she said.
She said, "Not enough." Wired then began making obscene gestures to police in the surrounding. I'm sorry, to people.
Police are people.
People are people. So why should it be that Wired and the police should get along so awfully? Weiner then began making obscene gestures to the people in the surrounding area. A friend approached Wired. I want to say Weinard all the time.
It doesn't matter.
To try to take her home, but she refused. Wired began cursing obscenities and at deputies as a crowd of people gathered to watch.
Sure.
The Sebastian Inn and Suites issued a trespass warning to Wired. Wired was arrested for disorderly intoxication. While seated in the patrol car, she yelled obscenities all the way to Indian River County Jail.
Man, she was full of obscenities. Headline is, Florida man dodges cannibals, but not deputies.
Dodge this guy running through a crowd of them, dodging them.
Groveland, a man complaining that cannibals were determined to eat his intestines, was tased on Monday by Lake County Sheriff's deputies. According to an arrest affidavit, deputies were called to a Groveland home to a verbal disturbance. Ooh, we have those all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife's always like saying,
darn it,
and stuff like that. After speaking with the suspect, 23-year-old McKay's Samuel Crumby, I wish my name was Crumby.
Crumby!
Hey, Crumby! They decided to place him in a mental institution. Crumby had been complaining that cannibals wanted to eat his intestines and that he
but
would...
But that's a true statement.
That he would kill his father if he hindered his drug business. There you go. When deputies tried to take Crumby into custody, the man reportedly lunged at them and struck one in the neck. When Crumby tried to push a deputy into a scrap metal pile, a deputy used his taser on him.
Wow.
How about that?
How about that?
Cash round high.
And we're back now.
You know what we are? We're at the end.
We're at the
end. Of our first ever Florida-only episode.
Well, we have to end it with something important.
We really do. Something big. But before we end it, One more time. I would like to ask our listeners to check out Spiders Will Eat Your Face, available on...
No, he wants you to actually check out having a spider eat your face.
I want you to check out Spiders Will Eat Your Face, available on Amazon Prime.
On Amazon Prime.
Instant Watch and Amazon.com. Spiders Will Eat Your Face, the documentary about the history of pant
tarantulas.
They got pants on little tiny legs.
Little pants.
It's the history of pet tarantulas in America, and this is the documentary that it's all about tarantulas as pets today and how the tarantula is wrapped up with some of America's hardest moments. So now, after our listeners go and check out Spiders Will Eat Your Face,
it's time for the Mark Patch Top 10.
I like that.
Yeah. Sorry, Flaz.
You've been booted.
Yeah, Flaz.
Well, we'll talk about it. We'll see. By. Yeah.
Maybe we'll start sponsoring the top 10 list.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start saying this top 10 list brought to you by Dairy Queen.
Ooh, that would make me
That'd
happy.
Be awesome.
We will work for food.
The top 10 weird Florida stories.
Yes.
On Facebook.
It goes
in 2016.
It goes with our
That was
episode.
A year ago.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you had to have a whole year to get a good
That's right.
List. Number 10. Killer flesh-eating screw worm discovered in Florida.
That's a nightmare-inducing headline.
That does sound scary.
Number 9. Alligators didn't actually escape the alligator farm in St. Augustine during the hurricane. That's just the headline.
Oh, wow. Number 8. Weird Florida story on Facebook in 2016. No one exactly knows what this is on Jacksonville Street.
And it looks like an alligator turtle, kind of.
What that is.
See, nobody knows.
Nobody knows what
that headline.
Is.
Number 7. Florida man thinks alligator in tree is actually a lizard.
Number 6. Jacksonville man threatens to sell son's car because of dope.
Number five. This is number 5 of the top 10 weird Florida stories on Facebook in 2016. Number 5, Atlantic Beach man wins $2 million on a scratch-off just before his birthday.
That's not weird. That's awesome.
It's awesome. Happy birthday, man.
Number 4, dozens of gators spotted in Florida lake.
What's wrong?
That's normal, right?
And that's number 4? Number 3, Florida shark looks like Bruce in Finding Nemo. These are actual headlines, Craig.
Wow. Number 2. Strangers show up at hospital with gifts for baby. What? How? Why? I'm so confused.
They were strangers and they showed up. And the number 1.
How's that a headline? How's that a top weird Florida story?
I don't know. Maybe it was on Christmas, you know?
I don't get it.
The top 10 weird Florida stories on Facebook in 2016. Number 1, Florida man throws alligator into Wendy's from the drive-thru.